Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we have another show dealing with metaphysics and science and spirituality and, well, a number of different areas. Tonight's show is, I thought, on this subject, the spiritual reckoning, the coming 3 years. And when I talk about reckoning, I'm not talking about it being, you know, like, oh, it, you know, the end of the world. I know some people think that the world might end sometime around the end of 2012. I think the ending is to possibly some of the problems that we have had. And that's, I just want to relieve you of thinking that it's going to be some kind of, you know, doom and gloom show, because that's not really what we're talking about tonight. But again, we can talk about whatever you might want to talk about, and you can call in, of course. Numbers are right in front of you if you're looking in on a screen, and so you can see where to call from. And I don't have to read them off anymore, which I kind of like doing that. Not doing that, I should say. So let me define what I mean by spiritual reckoning, because I think, you know, to not get that too far off the wrong path. I'm talking about a change. Reckoning means to make an accounting of or change from what has been in terms of things being usually awry, and that's what we're dealing with right now. The world has gotten relatively, and I say this in the relative term now, relatively selfish, more so than it has been. And part of the reason is science. There's a metaphysical principle that applies here. Some of you already know that are listeners regularly. And that is that the center or chakra that controls speech and communication, the development of civilization itself, wow, and is really the hallmark of what has been going on for the last 650 to 700 years in what we call Western society, although it has affected the entire world. That particular development, that particular element of what it means to be human, and it, although this also affects animals and plants, although we really don't want to get into how the plants are dealing with it, but at any rate, all of this is reaching a peak in terms of development within us, but unfortunately, humans, on an average, have been using it more and more selfishly, because it's sort of like when you got a lot of goodies, and it becomes too easy to do some things, such as communicate and build up even the communication industry, if you want to call it that, the technology side of existence, civilization as we refer to it, which means using the lower kingdoms, besides human, the kingdoms lower than us, as an incorporation of ourselves, as like an extension of our own bodies. That's how we develop our civilization. Well, all of that, and unfortunately also military issues, large parts of economy, oh, just all kinds of stuff. Banking, oh my God. Banking, yeah. But all that falls under this third type of energy that controls the throat chakra, and it is peaking. It's peaking in about 3 years from right now, the fall up to the winter of 2012. That's when it's happening. And, you know, you might say, hey, I saw this program on the Mayan calendar, and where did they get that from? Well, you know, just because they were Mayans doesn't mean they didn't have some metaphysical or spiritual inclination about things. And they were very interested in cycles and how cycles and time have an effect on the existence of their beingness. So we really have a fundamental change taking place, because there are three major types of energies, first, second, and third, is called those. Yes, they have very descriptive elements to them, and they're parts of God's own mind. But when one of those three is making a change, and the change is that energy is not going to be focused on us, so it's going to be more difficult to use those senses to accelerate the development of civilization. And it's going to be easier to become more balanced, you know, hopefully in our spirituality, because that's what's replacing that particular ray. We're getting a, what's called a fourth ray focus onto our sacral centers, kind of the base of the spine area, for those of you who know that. And that's going to make it easier for us to balance out some of the problems that we have, but not until after 2012. And it'll take, believe it or not, 10 to 15 years for all that to take place. So it's just things, by our standards, this is a lot of time. In spiritual terms, it's still pretty quick. And the problems we have coming up in the next 3 years is that we have got to pay for, in the sense of karmic issues. I'm not talking about punishment, but we have to pay for a lot of the stuff that we did wrong, selfishly. And the payment's going to be, so to speak, in correcting this. Now, it's not a bad thing, because you want to correct bad, you know, wrong things that are going on in you so that you can live a more spiritual life. And so it's a reckoning. It's a way of getting the spiritual side of us to become stronger while the material side becomes better balanced. And some people might claim even weaker. So we shouldn't expect that in 2015, although this is really hard to, for us to imagine in our present time, and which is not very far away. I mean, we're talking about, 2015, 6 years away. We should really be expecting that there'll be some fundamental changes in the values we have, in what we consider to be important, and probably the need to let go of some things that we are trying desperately at the present time to hold on to. And this is a great concern to me, because there could be some fundamental, unfortunate destructions of parts of our societies. And for us here in the United States, for those of you who are listening in the U.S., it could mean a more radical change than what we had anticipated, because we had became radicalized in our materiality. And I think that we're going to probably have to face the music on that. And what is the music? The music is probably less material things, less material reasons for life, and more emphasis on spiritual reasons for existence. And possibly the metaphysical side of things will become more dominant than they have. Science is there, for sure, but most of science is very, very material, and it's locked into a lot of material models that are proving to be intractable in their ability to resolve contradictions. And so the good news is, in that realm, science will become more truthful, and we can expect in the next few years for some of these conflicts to reach ahead, and they will reach a point where maybe a number of scientists, I'll give you some examples, might move from a totally material structural viewpoint of, say, Darwinian type, but I don't know that Darwin actually believed this. I think that people reinterpreted Darwin, you know, in terms of evolution. What people today call evolution and Darwinian evolution, into an evolution that may have been really the way Darwin thought about it, which is that there still was room for God and spirit, and that there is intelligent design, but not necessarily creationism. Those are kind of two different approaches to the thought process. And that that evolution is part of God's design, but it is still God's design, and it's not some happen chance issue, which doesn't mathematically compute. There's actually a mathematical model that says it doesn't work. But there's other issues with that. So that's one area where we're going to see some changes. I think we're going to see some reckoning in other sciences. The physics itself. Physics deals with the physical world. And physics is going to need to change to start getting into other worlds, into the etheric, or what some people refer to as etheric if you're in a spiritual language, or electromagnetic, but with alternate phases, so that we're going to be starting to see physics as incorporating that and then other dimensions, but not a multiverse as much as a dimensional, fixed dimensional universe where there's six other major dimensions besides the electromagnetic physical one we're in right now. And this adoption of that one characteristic with these other elements having to them, other elements of dimensionality having to them an increase in the ability to create, and in the ability for God to be found. So this is the tough place. We're in the tough place right now. But that will open up the possibility then getting into the more metaphysical realm of there being life after death and what it's like and how the change in physics goes hand in hand with the change in expression of God's growth, which is life itself. And so these are the kinds of things that we can expect after the next 3 years. But the next 3 years is where the conflict's going to be. And that's the reckoning issue, is the conflict. And so the conflict is one side like battling the other. It's the best way to look at it. Now, presently, another thing that's happening is political things are changing. And right now we have a circumstance, in my opinion, where there is a revelation of high levels of corruption. Not just in the present administration, but going back, you know, for virtually all the time this country's been around. But this, I think what's going to happen at the cost of the present administration's own existence, possibly, is that by 2012, I think there'll be so much revelation of the problems that are going on, which may include a tyrannical viewpoint coming from those politicians who want to control rather than to lead and to help. And so this could lead to a crisis in which the government we know of may change to some extent, not necessarily in a constitutional way, but in the application of that constitution, where freedom is balanced with givingness and protection and caring for all those who are given the freedom. And, of course, you're never given freedom. Freedom is actually an innate quality. But when I say given to freedom, are not interfered with by government. So we're going to have some conflicts. And those conflicts could lead, unfortunately, to like insurrection or even a revolt. I hope not. But if that goes in that direction, we are in for some very hard times. That would be terrible. Because I believe this can be done in a somewhat peaceful manner. But right now, we have a lot of inequities and a lot of problems in the way the system is designed. And those who are maybe using the system in wrong ways. So we have a circumstance where this is going to work itself out with a great deal of conflict. And it's first rate. That has to do with the first rate. And the first rate tends to be destructive before it is constructive. For those of you who know much about metaphysics, this is a truism. So it tends to be very destructive first. Now, what is going to get destroyed? Well, possibly some elements of the government itself. A lot of people say we want smaller government. Well, I think that may be on its way. But before that, we're going to have bigger government that doesn't work and is going to become extremely antagonistic to the very people that it's supposed to be serving. And as a result of that, I think that we will then find that the system may collapse in on itself. And a smaller government may be the outgrowth, but more importantly, size, irregardless of size, will be the question of a honest, a true, clear government, a government that serves people rather than is asking people to serve it. And so I think that's where we're coming to. And the spiritual reckoning of that could be the most painful of all the things that we're dealing with, but there's still more. So I'll continue on. Okay. Now, this doesn't sound very good. I know you might say, well, you said it wasn't going to be all that bad. Well, I said that it wasn't going to be all doom and gloom, and I also saying that it isn't the end of the world, but I think it's the end of some things that we have taken for granted as being probably going to be there forever, and I don't think they're going to be. That which is in virtue and in light will last immortally, but that which is not will it will fairly quickly, in spiritual terms, maybe not so fast in human terms, come to an end. So when I'm talking about spiritual terms, spiritual things are really like in hundreds of years to millennia. Humans don't usually think beyond, you know, next Tuesday or something. So that there's a big difference in terms of our relative viewpoint on how fast things are really going to hit us. And another area that I think we're all going to be kind of pretty much over our heads in is going to be the area of, say, how we approach our own creation, our own creator and God, and the practice of what people consider to be religion. I see religion becoming a means for people to find more internal change than to find social outlet and to be told how and what to do in terms of their quote-unquote spiritual side of life. And so that's how things happen. And I see religion moving more into the question of internal aspects. And there were many times when this has been more true than at present. So I think that religion is going to change in this direction. The reckoning in a spiritual sense, then, is to move religion from the more material side of things. Again, these are material expressions of these different ways of looking at each of these areas of life. From that side, we can expect religion to move away from the material side instead of, you know, well, I gave, I went and put the money in the basket or the plate or did this, or, you know, or I went to church on this day at this time and I did my thing. I think that religion is going to become much more introspective than it ever has been in recent times. And this will be a good thing. Now, the introspection may cause significant shakeups and changes within various individual religions. And that's where, you know, where we're going to see it. Now, this is going to come, in my opinion, and the pivotal religion for this will probably, and this won't surprise you, is probably going to come from Islam. And why is that true? Well, because Islam has reached the almost pinnacle of the radicalized versus the materialized side of existence. And there is no spiritual foundation on either side. So this is a religion of over a billion people practicing that doesn't have a strong center. Because it doesn't have a strong center, we have some violent, crazy people, fanatics, on one side, and then we have others who are unable to find the true inspiration to correct their own religion and to bring it into a place where it really represents who and what they are. So that's a big issue. And unfortunately, political correctness is making it worse. So the other religions, the people who aren't following a Muslim heritage, are finding it very difficult and unfortunately are becoming somewhat hypocritical and politically correct in trying to cater to this strange hollowness that is in in this religion as it stands right now. That doesn't mean I'm not in any way criticizing or condemning people who are practicing Islam. I'm saying that they have a problem that they need to work out, and I'm going to go to other religions to talk about those, so don't think I'm just picking on them. But I think they have one of the greatest problems right now, and some of them recognize it. Some of them are trying to say, hey, we have to be an expression of what we believe our religion to be, instead of letting a few percentage-wise of us creating this terrible crisis on one side, and then the rest of us literally with our heads in the sand. It's not going to work that way. Okay, so that's an issue. And then if we look at the various Christian sects, I think there we have issues where people have become very segregated and have not looked inward using their religion instead of it's being an outward thing of going through various practices and focused on procedures, material things, instead and doing what they're told, instead of saying, well, how does this religion really get me closer to God? That's, I think, the most critical thing. So we're going to see more and more of that coming after the next 3 years. And during the next 3 years, we're going to see more and more conflict in those. Especially, I think, in the Christian side, I think the Christians overall have some issues in trying to combine a mental understanding of what it means to be a Christian, which is known as Gnosticism, which was rejected by the Catholic Church around 300 AD. And so that's going to have to come into play because we're becoming more and more mental beings. Every generation is more mental. And that's in conflict with the inspirational, I will call it emotional side. And most people that practice on a regular basis Christian religions tend to be more on the emotional side at the present time. But that's not working in terms of the generational changes. And more people are still developing a greater capacity in their monastic or mental side. And so there's a schism there. And that's becoming evident to people that practice along those lines. You might say, well, how's that going to work out? And I don't know. That's for them to work out. That's for all people along that religious line to come to a conclusion with, and how is it going to build their internal sense of God and spiritual life? That doesn't mean they give up their religion. I think it means just the opposite, that they embrace their religion, but they approach it from a more balanced element, rather than it just being all inspirational and no thinking about anything. But that has been the way it has been presented since 300 AD, so it's been a long time. It's just that today we've changed. Humans are changing. We are changing continually, becoming more and more thinkers about our existence. Okay, and then people who have a Judaic background, I would say they are facing a conflict more of functional life versus their connection to God. And in some cases, this is political, because for the people who live in Israel, where a significant portion, but not surely the majority of Jews live, they have issues because obviously they have to come to grips with how to resolve conflicts they have with the other peoples, the Palestinians, etc. But they also, unfortunately, have to deal with the question of being attacked and the whole issue of the bias and prejudice that has been shown against them for eons. So all these things have to be developed in a way that puts them closer to their creator, while at the same time is somewhat against some of their sentiment for materiality. You know, everybody says, well, land for peace. Give them land and they'll have peace. I don't know if it's so much land for peace. I think it has to do with sharing and the willingness to maybe embrace the people that unfortunately are living with them and a part of them who aren't in their religion as being on an equal level at some point. And trying to bring them up in terms of education. They're not equal maybe in education, but they could be equal in terms of their humanity, of course. And so that's where they've got some issues going on. Now, this is some ideas I have about where the reckoning is going to be coming. And a lot of people, the reason I'm talking a lot about religion tonight is because a lot of people say, well, isn't the reckoning going to be a religious one? And yes and no. I'm not talking about a Messiah or Jesus Christ or any specific being, Allah, doing something or having an effect on something in the next few years. I'm talking about the religions themselves are in crisis, and those religions can become much more spiritually founded, and they will, because of the crises that are going to happen in the next few years. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, I hope we're on the same page about that, because there's so much out there that is really about, unfortunately, prophecy, and well, the Book of Revelation says, or you know, whatever. And that, to me, that's stuff that people have to, that has to do with the wishful thinking of people, and the desire to hold on to more fables than to really make a constructive change to being part of the solution and helping yourself to be a co-creator with God. That's what we're looking for, and that's what I think the next 3 years are going to push us into. But unfortunately for some people, maybe the majority of us, it's going to be a bumpy road. Okay. I got a lot more to talk about, but we are kind of reaching that point where we're going to go to break. So I just want to let you know that I've only really scratched the subject, which is usual, I guess, and that when we come back from break, I want to talk about many other practical areas and areas where we can do things to improve on an individual and as a group basis these next few years, so that there are some solutions out there. And those solutions really have to do more, again, with the internal environment rather than the external, and changing from a very material kind of way of finding a solution to a very spiritual way of finding a solution. And that, to me, is what is going to be needed. We'll come back. When we come back, I want to talk about the possibility of avoiding a Mideast war, because I wanted to lead from Israel to a maybe solution in terms of what could happen there. So we'll talk about that, and we'll be back in about a couple of minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back, and this is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. I was just giving a little lesson on hypnosis to the engineer. At any rate, another subject for another day, actually. We can certainly talk about that some other time. When I was in practice, I used it a lot, but not so much as a curative, just as a tool. So that's a kind of interesting thing. So let me continue on now. We have a major issue in the Middle East, and of course I talked about how Jewish people are facing some conflicts about their spirituality. And I think that the solution to the present problem, if I may be so bold as to suggest one, in dealing with, like, we'll say barbarous states, not the people in them, but the ruling governments in places such as Iran, somewhat Syria, and then parts of, obviously, Palestine, which we'll say Hamas, and, you know, those kinds of groups and or states are presently the antagonists, obviously, against the people in Israel, and against, we'll say, in my opinion, a more godly solution. But here's the point. The way if I were the Israelis, I would be seriously working with the people in all the surrounding countries, from Egypt to Jordan to Syria, you know, obviously the Palestinians. And I would be working out a really complex, totally comprehensive deal that allows all of the parties to grow together in a weird way. I wouldn't be looking for, quote-unquote, a two-state solution. I'd be looking for a six- or seven-state solution, including Iraq. And I would start a confederation of people who are looking for God in their hearts, their minds, and their actions. I would make it somewhat religious, because that's what's going on there. This is a religion thing. You know, people say, well, it's just land for peace. No, it's about religion. I mean, that's what these religions are in conflict. I talked about some of the conflicts that are going on between some of these, internally, within some of these religions. And so I would approach it more from the side that it really is, instead of trying to make it, well, they threatened us, they blew us up, and they did this, and they did. That isn't going to help. I would form a really strong confederacy among these nations or nation states or emerging nation states, and you know, and that would, you know, that would include Lebanon, even though they're controlled by a terrorist kind of organizations, more or less they are. And that's somewhat controlled by Syria. But at any rate, I would try to bring them all together because they have a common goal. The common goal is to ultimately avoid a nuclear war, which is about to happen. When I say about, I mean in the next year or two. And so this is a critical thing because, to me, if you know you're talking about your own existence in this case, it really doesn't matter who wins the war because they're all going to lose. I mean, once you start setting off nuclear bombs, nobody really wins anything. And so the solution to me would be to talk about this in terms of, look it, why don't we all try to like each other, and why don't we start? If I was the Israelis, I think this would be a smart thing. Why don't we start by saying, we're going to do these 5 things, or these 10 things, and we're going to do them kind of unilaterally, but we're going to, because they're giving things that are helpful, but we want to get together and see if other people are willing to try to do something as well. And start it from that perspective. Be the bigger person. Be the more giving person in the beginning, because the fact of the matter is, in comparison to military strength, Israel can whip all of them if it needed to. That is not the issue. The issue is that there is no military solution. The idea that you're going to go, okay, and they're going to probably do this, by the way, if they don't do what I say. They're going to use, if not nuclear weapons, they're certainly going to use a fairly strong force to take out the nuclear capability of Iran within the next 6 to 12 months. I think that's a foregone conclusion. And they're going to do so in conflict with the present administration in the U.S. So they're going to be kind of going it alone, believe me. But once they do that, that's going to set up a pretty conflictive situation, one which is probably not the ultimate solution. And they still would have to do what I suggest anyway to solve the problem, which is to set up a confederation of the rest of the countries. So before they get to that level, it would be better to set up the confederation. And with a strong enough confederation, that would truly isolate Iran more. And if Syria didn't go along with it, Syria as well. And it would produce a much more profound, in my opinion, improvement in the circumstances. And I don't think that the Europeans or the U.S. is going to help them at all. Particularly the U.S. has moved way away from being of any help to Israel. So I think that these are important elements, and I think that it's time now for them to make that decision. And if it turns out that they do have to use force, the interesting thing is that the quote-unquote fallout, which is kind of, this is the double entendre of whatever's going to take place, will at least be more on their side, because if they have a confederation of most of the other states in the region, then, okay, the Iranian government falls because they're wiped out. Hopefully very few of the Iranian people will die, because I think that most of them, I'm talking like probably 3/4 of them, are in favor of a free society, and about maybe a quarter of them won't want to have this crazy dictatorship they got going on there. So that, to me, is something that the next few years is going to produce one way or another a result. And whether you believe in prophecy or not, yeah, that's a powder keg down there. It's serious issues. And where else are there serious problems? Well, North Korea, I mean, you got pretty crazy people over there, too. And they're involved in this Iranian thing. Remember, North Korea is feeding all of this by selling technology and weapons. I mean, it's their only means of keeping their country going at this point. And so there, unfortunately, that does involve the United States, and I don't know that our present administration is going to do a heck of a lot about that either, because what's involved there is they really, really, really need to be just squeezed to death. They need to have their they need to be literally starved out. And unfortunately, that means people will suffer within that country, but they're going to suffer more over the long run than to have it happen in a short one, where for the next 6 months or a year they're starving to death, but maybe there'll also be somewhat of a revolt. Some of the military people will not stay in line, and it'll make it easier for whatever's going to happen after that. So these are the kinds of things I think we need to look at. I just don't think that these kind of very terrible areas of the world are going to resolve themselves, because the way the ray energy tends to work is that people who are militaristic become excessively militaristic as we reach the peak of this period going into the end of 2012. So we could see some outrageous kinds of actions. And that's what I'm trying to at least ameliorate to some extent. I mean, you're not going to get rid of it. We may see some really serious wars. Is it possible there will be a nuclear exchange? Absolutely. That's certainly possible. Is it likely that if Iran is left to get nuclear weapons, that the entire Middle East will become nuclearized? Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can think of three or four countries, including Saudi Arabia, that almost instantly will develop a nuclear program within a few years with the amount of capital they have. They'll have more nuclear weapons than countries such as Korea. So, I mean, the whole world could become terribly, terribly militarized and segregated. This would not be a good thing, because nuclear war is one of the extinctions that we could be facing in terms of large amounts of humans. We could lose half, two-thirds of the people in the world just through that one occurrence. Okay, what else? We are looking at the potential for some serious kinds of third-rate types of viruses and bacteria. One of those is flu. So just so you know, the flu is along the third ray in terms of its focus. And so I know I told a lot of people it wouldn't be that bad, this particular flu. I don't think it will be. I said at least until the fall. Well, we're getting into the fall now. I said that a few months ago. It could get pretty bad, but I don't think it's going to be super bad. But unfortunately, this flu could then turn into another one that might be very devastating, either an H5N1 or the real, quote-unquote, 1918 H1N1. That would be devastating because we don't have a way of treating that flu at all. Now, as I've mentioned, Viropel with some of the two anti-flu agents that seem to work would probably keep almost everybody alive. But I don't know if anybody's going to use Viropel, so, you know, that's another thing. And we don't have much of it anyway. If you want to know more about that, of course, you can contact us. But that's a different issue. What I'm getting at is that this energy is peaking right now, and we can see some super flus develop. The thing that's frightening about the H1N1 that is presently here is it's doing just as well, seemingly, in the hot weather. And flu, that's never been the case. So we do have adaptation. It may not be killing a lot of people, which is a good thing, by the way. And it may not be so severe except in certain categories of people. But the fact that it has that adaptation is scary, because at least we used to get a reprieve in the warmer months, and that isn't taking place. So that's a bad sign. The other sign right now is that temporarily, and maybe it's because it adapted to be warm weather that it isn't as virulent, but still, it's something to be concerned about. What if it gains in virulence and maintains that other advantage it has? Well, that could be very scary. So we have to be concerned about that kind of element. I don't think that, unfortunately, the vaccinations are going to be able to stay up with the flu. The flu is one of the most mutable types of life forms. And unfortunately, our present way of developing vaccines has too much of a lag time. The flu could easily outpace us. Now, it hasn't in this one case yet. But even next month, we could have a new variant, a new mutation, and that could be just terrible because everybody will have gotten shots and we would have gone through all this activity for nothing. So that's why I like the Viropel answer, because at least it doesn't matter how it changes. Viropel works on a different principles and more like Eastern medicine. And so basically, it will still be effective in most circumstances. But at any rate, you know, I'm glad they did come up with a vaccine. How effective it's going to be was yet to be seen. Now let's hope on this round it'll knock it out for this time, and maybe we won't see in a more virulent form. Although, as I'm saying, if we're going to see something bad happen in terms of our health, it's most likely going to be some kind of flu. I think that's where it's going to hit us. There's many other diseases out there, but the flu certainly is an active type of virus along the Third Reich. There are other kinds of viruses that are more passive. Those are, you know, the retroviruses, and they can be equally as dangerous in the long run. So we also have to be concerned about that. Bacteria, you know, we have all kinds of issues with tuberculosis right now, and then there's terrible illnesses that most people in the U.S. don't know about that are caused by parasites, and those are affecting from malaria, but there's other kinds too that are affecting huge numbers of people in Africa and Asia. And there's dengue fever, which is a viral family work on dengue fever. But that's also another kind of virus that's pretty dangerous. So there's these terrible kinds of things that are just going around that are serious, and they're growing in their virulence. They're growing in the amount of population that they're affecting. In many cases, it has to do with changes in weather. Okay, so let me move on to other spiritual reckoning that we might be having to deal with in the next few years, where the conflicts are probably going to arise the most. It was interesting. Some of the areas that most people don't even think about, I saw some reports on cable that suggested that there was an issue with a kind of radicalization of art, and the present administration trying to get artists to come on board in a political sense. It sounds pretty crazy to me, but that seems to be what's happening. At any rate, art right now is not too good. And the reason it isn't is because it is so materially focused. It isn't representing any true spiritual elements on any mass scale. Certainly there's some artists that are spiritual in their approach, but the majority aren't. And boy, if you've seen any of the movies of recent vintage, there's so little out there. The best movies are made 25, 30 years ago or more. It's really scary, because some of this stuff is just atrocious. And the violence, the need for the excess without any moral redemptive aspects, no meaningful issues, no spiritual ones, nothing. I mean, it's like these movies, you know, are examples of what's going on inside of us. And of course they should be, but they also should be leading us towards a more spiritual side, and they're not right now. So there's tremendous conflict in the field of art, and it isn't moving in a direction right now that seems like it is positive. But remember, the fourth ray is replacing the third ray. And so we can expect soon after 2012 some significant improvements in art. So I'm hoping to see that. Right now, that's the worst. And I hope that it's not just me. Or maybe I hope it is just me. I don't know. I hope it's not just me, because that would mean my senses are really goofy. But everybody else I've talked to that's been watching, listening, you know, et cetera, they're saying the same kind of stuff. And I don't know what the rest of you out there are thinking, but it would certainly be nice to be able to consistently depend upon whatever art we are exposing ourselves to. It really represents beauty. And I can't say that right now. I mean, this is not, it's kind of like an ugly period, we'll call it. The other thing that happens with art is that as it gets more and more material, it tends to be repetitive and redundant. And you constantly see people redoing what has been done. Even if it was nice or great, even the first time around, art has to evolve and continue to be creative. It can't just be, well, it was good 25 years ago, we'll just make it again. Actually, that usually doesn't work. Usually the one that was 25 years ago is better. Whatever we're talking about, whether it's a painting or a movie or a play or a sculpture or whatever, it is the way it works. You know, it doesn't. You can't just make copies. Okay. At any rate, so that's an area that I think hopefully we will see some improvement in. Also, in terms of television. I think television is a mess. I think the television generally is disintegrating almost every year that goes by in terms of both programming for entertainment purposes and unfortunately now the news. I think the news has gotten to the point where it's become commercialized and it is literally censured, at least in the United States. I like watching news from other countries because it's the only way sometimes you find out what the heck's going on. Even in our country, you don't know what's going on unless you watch news from another country. It's pretty hard to get anything that you could responsibly say is accurate reporting. So that's an area where there's some spiritual reckoning for sure. Now, you might say, what's spiritual news? Spiritual news is news that tries to find solutions to problems rather than just report on problems. It's problem-solving. And it also reports on successes so that those successes can then be applied to the other things that are problems. And so it shows there's good news as well as bad news. So, but I think we're pretty far away from that. I think most people would agree with that statement. That doesn't mean it's 100% bad, but it's pretty high up there in terms of what's wrong with it. And I am running out of time here, and that's just a shame because I would like to continue to talk about this. I find this to be intriguing. I had a lot more to say about it, but I'm just running out of time. I wanted to mention to you, again, if you are interested in living a longer, better life, a younger one too, you might check out Ideal Cell Sorption Resveratrol from Forever Young Products. You can check that out. If you want to know more about it, you can call 800-777-7850. And it's available for both people, us, I'm using it, works great, and it's available for dogs and cats. And it works maybe better, but at least as good on them. So if you have a wonderful pet that you want to have live longer, better, and I mean you'll notice a difference within a month or two, you might check it out because this stuff really works. And there's a whole bunch of stuff out there that not only doesn't work, it may even make you not feel too good. So be aware of that. So, and if you want to get a hold of me, you can get me at thoughts@whylifeis.com. Also, go to the website agelesswisdom.com and check out some things about what we're doing. We would and do need assistance from others for some of the projects and things we're involved in. We have a great need for that. And if you would like to help, let us know. Thank you for those of you who have contacted us. I've been putting this message out the last few weeks, because it has made a difference, and we need that difference because we can't do it alone. If you think that you have any amount of time and you're really willing to be of some spiritual service in this world and want to co-serve with other people who want to do the same thing, and if you would like to have contact with us, we would love to do that. Because remember, I'm talking about me as being a member of a spiritual group of people. You can contact me directly if you want to talk to me. You can talk to me, too. I'm available for sure. So I want you to know about that. And hopefully we will see some response because from today's statement, because the last few weeks we have each week gotten people interested, and I want to see more of it. And maybe we could collectively make some changes so that the next 3 years will be a spiritual reckoning that is much more positive and doesn't have the more negative and destructive elements to it. Well, I'm out of time for right now. This has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.